Good morning, everyone. Precious Rabbi Matenki, the entire Matenki family, Mrs. Matenki, the Orach Yom Tovim, the Shiners, an extended Matenki clan, Rabbi Reese, many wonderful friends. It's an honor once again to be here to learn together this year. Le'ili Nishmas, Yaakov Levi ben Arav Aryeh, and Miriam. This year I wanted to begin with something memorable and dramatic, so that if somebody would walk away, they would know and remember what it is that we focused on in our learning this year. So I want to read to you something. It's very personal. I'll read it maybe with a little bit of a tune. And it starts like this. The Southwest Rapid Rewards credit card is brought to you by Southwest Airlines and Chase. Southwest Airlines is responsible for the redemption of Rapid Rewards points toward benefits and services. Oh, yo, yo. The number of points needed for any particular Southwest flight is set by the Southwest Airlines and will vary depending on destination time, the day of the week. Rapid Rewards points can only be transferred to the primary card member's Rapid Rewards account. All Rapid Rewards rules and regulations apply. Please visit southwest.com/RRTERMS. Southwest reserves the right to amend, suspend, or change the program and or program rules at any time without notice. Rapid Rewards members do not acquire property rights in accrued points and awards. Oy vey. So that exactly is what happens to us, if you haven't noticed, every single year when we start Yom Kippur. If you look in the Machzor, we start Yom Kippur with the passage. We call it Kol Nidre, and we sing it with a very memorable and notable tune. But if you look in the English, it literally sounds like the disclaimer on the bottom of my Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards credit card. It does. We have some lawyers in the room. They're responsible for this. And you ask yourself, and what I'd like to share with you this morning is to think about, why is it that when we open the Yom HaKadosh, when we start our experience of Yom Kippur, we start with some legal mumbo jumbo about vows and oaths? If you open up the Machzor, it's not coincidental that the text of Kol Nidre that we use, it's not the only text that existed over 1,000 years in Kol Nidre, the text that we use is even more nuanced than your regular tefillah because it's in Aramaic. So how many people know what the translation of Ude Ishtabana Uda Acharimna is? You know, the chazan is going and he's shaking and the people are standing there. They have the Sifrei Torah open. They're holding the Sifrei Torah at the bima. And then you look at the translation, and did we ever take the time to think about what on earth are we doing here? Why are we reading a legal document? All vows, prohibitions, oaths, excommunications, konamos. They don't even bother to translate konamos in this edition. What are we doing? Why? So you'll say, okay, you know what? We want to start Yom Kippur. We want to wipe away our averus. So we're going to do Hataras Nedarim. We're going to annul our vows so that we don't run afoul of this avera. So I would ask you, why did we pick Nedarim? Oaths. Why didn't we pick, I don't know, keeping Shabbos? If a person, God forbid, doesn't fulfill Shabbos properly, so then that's a very serious violation. If you want to look at the legal fine print a violation of Shabbos is more significant and more grave than a violation, on a strict level, than a violation of not keeping your word, of Motzah Svasecha Tishmar V'Asiso, or even Bal Yachol Devaro, of not fulfilling what you said. So if you had to pick one thing, would anybody in this room have imagined you were going to pick, we're going to start Yom Kippur by taking care of our oaths? If I had to pick one thing, I would guess it would be Lashon Hara. That's a really big one. That's a great place to start Yom Kippur. Let's have a paragraph we talk about Lashon Hara. And by the way, some of us do a little bit of that in Tefillah Zaka, a special discussion. It's not really a tefillah, it's a declaration. So I want to understand, why are we saying Hataras Nedarim or whatever Kol Nidre is, which we're going to have to talk about? And why is it so important that it come right before Yom Kippur? But there's a third issue that actually complicates things matter. Over the last several years, I've had the opportunity, the responsibility, which is pretty scary, but also the opportunity to daven for the Amud in one of the Minyanim here for Kol Nidre. And the same question comes up every year, because maybe I don't write it down and my memory, maybe it's not the sharpest. I never remember what to say for Kol Nidre. Because if you look closely in your machzor, there's a controversy. When you get after the first section of Aramaic, you say, Miyom Kippurim. Well, some people say Zeh, and some people say, Miyom Kippurim She'avar. Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh. That's one way to say it. And I guess if we took a survey, you'd have some shuls. I don't know what they do in Kins. The other way to say it is, Yom Kippurim Zeh. Ad Yom Kippurim Abba. Etc. So I wonder if that's what they do in Kins. That's what they do in a lot of shuls. We can't even get the text of the Kol Nidre correct. We don't even know what to say. Because of this controversy, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, the Meiri, the great Rav Menachem HaMeiri, the Provençal giant of Torah, so you're talking 800 years ago, the Meiri said, you know what? There's so much disagreement about Kol Nidre, I think it's better not to get involved in the disagreement, just skip it. Don't say it! So the Meiri writes in the Chibur HaTshuva, in the section called Meshiv Nefesh, in Chelek Beis, in Yud Beis, he says, in our community, we don't say it, because we're not going to get involved in whether or not it should be last year's Nedarim or next year's Nedarim. Just leave it out. And in some shuls, this is the way it was, I think, in many Lithuanian communities, and in this machzor, in the machzor where they describe the Hanhagas of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, he said both. He said last year's Nedarim and next year's Nedarim. And I think that's what some Sephardic communities, those who say Kol Nidre, I think a lot of Sephardic communities say Miyom Kippurim Shavar until this Yom Kippur, and this Yom Kippur until the next Yom Kippur. So, what's going on with this prayer of Kol Nidre? Why is it here? Why is it significant? Why can't we figure out what it's about? And what's actually, from a historical standpoint, even more interesting, is that this one tefillah gave us a lot of tsaros over the years, because there were apostates over many generations who came to the government, or when they debated other Jews, they said, these Jews, you know they're not trustworthy. You know how they know they're not trustworthy? On the holiest day of the year, they get all the Jews together, they come to the synagogue, they wear talasim at night, which they never do any other time of the year. Everyone comes to dress in their white finery and their kittels, and you know the first thing they say? When you're not listening, you know what they say? Whatever we said we're going to do, we're not going to do it. Whatever we said last year we were going to do, we forget about it. And whatever's going to be next year, we're not committed. Ad kidei kach, so much so, that if you look in the Chai Adam of Avram Danzig, so he was a mechutan of the Vilna Gaon, living in the end of the 18th century, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, if you look in the tiny letters in the Chai Adam, before he tells you what you're supposed to say for Kol Nidre, he has a little caveat. He says, in the name of God, B'Shem Elokim, and according to the Torah, we are Matir Nidarim, what we're about to do with Kol Nidre. He says, however, Chas V'Chalila, Kol Ish Lachshov, nobody should think, She'anachnu Matirim Olos U'Shvuos She'nishbayim, Leha Memshala. Don't think we are absolving ourselves of our responsibilities to the government. Because people were saying, these Jews, they don't even plan to keep their word to the Tsar or to the King of France or whoever else it is who's giving them a hard time. So you could have said, you know what? Let's take this prayer and just get rid of it. Just take it away. It's going to cause such a headache. Why is it so important? And why are you going to put it right here at the beginning of Yom HaKippurim? And I would guess that if you asked people, what is one of the most memorable moments of Yom Kippur? For a lot of people, it is Kol Nidre. It's the melody, it's the mood, it's the feeling. Just even walking to Kol Nidre. I see it here when we go on Erev Yom HaKippurim, we're coming down from Timber Ridge. You see people walking, they're wearing white kittels. You see women wearing white dresses and blouses. People coming with their talisim, walking to shul. And they walk in and people say, Kol Nidre. And you get a little shiver. And then you take a step back and you're like, Southwest Carved Airlines. Why is it? What is going on? So the truth is that the origins of this tefillah, of Kol Nidre, are pretty mysterious. They're somewhat unclear. There is a line in the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Mishpatim, where he has a line about Kol Nidre and Yom HaKippurim, but when I went to look up the Zohar, I had no idea what he was saying. It's very mystical, very super spiritual. It's not on the books of the Gemara, and it's quoted by the Gaonim. If you look in the collected Psakim called Halachos Psukos of the Gaonim, so you're talking 8th century, very old, they quote from Rav Natronoi Gaon, who quotes from Rav Yehudai Gaon. So the Gaonim are living in this time in Babylonia, and they are preserving and transmitting to us the majority of the traditions of the Talmud Bavli. You know, the Gemara closed around the year 500, so they have the period of the Savarim, and now the Gaonim, this is one of the most authoritative and important groups of sources. So Rav Natronoi Gaon, which meant that he was the Rosh Yeshiva, it was called Gaon Yaakov. So Rav Natronoi Gaon quotes from a Rav Yehudai Gaon who says, Ana lo garsinon nidorim. We don't read anything about nidorim on Yom Kippur. This is in Kuf Chav Beis. Ve'ein noagin lo b'yeshiva v'lo b'kol makom. It says, we don't do this. We, the Gaonim, we don't have this practice. Ela sheshamanu, we heard. Bishar arotzos omrim kol nidre. So there is such a practice out there. It's not in Bavel, but somewhere out there, people are saying kol nidre on the night of Yom Kippur. So it's already in the times of the Gaonim, but there's some controversy. Some Gaonim didn't say it. If you look in the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, in his comments on the end of Maseches Yoma, in the 8th parak, where he talks about Yom Kippur, the order of Yom Kippur, things that we do on Yom Kippur. So there in Simen Chav Ches, he quotes from a later Gaon. He quotes from, maybe more well-known, Rav Sadia Gaon. So he quotes from Rav Sadia Gaon, who says that you do say Kol Nidre. And then he quotes a whole slew of Rishonim, others who did have the practice to say Kol Nidre. And if you look in the early scholars, there's a very beautiful article about Kol Nidre in this volume called Nesiv Bina by Rabbi Yisachar Yaakovs, and this is in the 5th Chelek. So he quotes a lot of scholarly articles and original Rishonim who quote sources where we say Kol Nidre, and it's quoted in the Tur in Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher in the 14th century in Simen Tov Reish Tes in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim about the practice to say Kol Nidre, and basing himself on his father Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel. The Tur was the son of the Rosh. And this is the basis for what we say in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tov Reish Tes, that in Yom Kippur night, we say Kol Nidre. So then people start to wonder, so why are you saying Kol Nidre? What's Kol Nidre all about? So we mentioned that Nidarim, the concept of a neder, an oath, is a very significant one. And the Gemara says in the second paragraph of Masechet Shabbos, Ba'avon Nidarim Bonim Mason. God forbid, if a person is not cautious with their oaths, God forbid they could lose their children. So some suggest, some achronim say, well, maybe that's why you talk about it before Yom Kippur, because it's a very serious thing. And the Gemara says in Chagiga that Heter Nedarim, we recently, not too long ago, we read about in Parshas Matos, we mentioned it yesterday. The Gemara in Chagiga says that this is one of the important fundamentals of Torah, so maybe that's why we're going to talk about it. But it's still not 100% clear why that's so important for right now. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, you know, I have an idea, and it's in a different context that we don't have time to explore right now. The Gemara says, maybe a person should stand on Rosh Hashanah and make a proclamation. On Rosh Hashanah, they should proclaim that anything I'm going to say of this coming year should not be a neder. I'm not going to accept it upon myself as a neder. And when I say it, it's just because I'm in a rush. It's in the context of the Gemara calls Nedarim. Nidre Zeruzin. Zeruz means somebody's hurried. So, you know, people say things when they're in a hurry. So maybe this is some piece of what we're talking about, but now it's more of a declaration than it is Hataras Nedarim. So we're starting to get the sense that there's a little bit not just of confusion about the origin, but of the nature of it. And so this becomes crystallized in two different approaches in the Rishonim, how you understand the whole story of Kol Nidre. The first approach is to say, you know what Kol Nidre is? Kol Nidre is what we call colloquially Hataras Nedarim, undoing vows that a person took. And this is a standard halachic process. It appears in Shulchan Aruch and Yoreh Dansim and Reish Chav Ches, where if a person took a vow, they can go to a Talmud Chacham, a Yachid Mumche, or they can go to a Beis Din of three people, and they can say to them, I took this vow, and I would like to annul the vow. So the Beis Din will say to them, well, why do you want to annul this vow? So one of two things could happen. Either because they could say, I regret that I ever took the vow in the first place, and then they'll say, oh, if you regret that you took the vow is annulled. And when the Chacham, when the rabbis remove the vow, it's retroactive. It's as if it never was. Or the person could say, had I known that I took this vow, when I took this vow, that such a thing was going to happen, I wouldn't have taken that vow. So then that's called a Pesach. Then they say, oh, had you known that, then they'll also uproot it. So we get them, we say, Kol Nidre, all the Nedarim and all the Shavuos and everything that we took, we want it to be nullified. So where exactly is the Hataras Nedarim? So if you look in that rush, the rush says, well, now I can understand why there's so many people saying it. Because you want to have like a Beis Din type of thing. Maybe that's why you have, usually you have two people stand together with the chazan. So you have three people. You know, people are saying, if you look carefully in the Nusach, B'chul hon, Icharatna b'hon. Icharatna means, Lehischarit, means to regret it, to have charata. But the Rabbeinu Tam comes along on that Gemara Nedarim. He's in Tosfos, he also writes this. In other places, the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that doesn't make sense. Because you should really require a formal Beis Din. And you should have to have a real procedure. You can't just have a bunch of guys standing around in a shul saying Kol Nidre. He says, look at the Gemara Nedarim that we just quoted. That's what Nedarim is all about. Kol Nidre is about saying, whatever is going to come next year, I'm standing at the beginning of the year on Erev Yom Kippur, and I'm voiding everything that's going to come in the future year. This machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim, right there in that Gemara Nedarim, is the basis for the machlokas about the Nusach. The many Ashkenazi Rishonim, and that's the Rabbi Metang said, that's the Minigkins, meant Ashkenaz Shul, they follow Rabbeinu Tam, which means that it's moving forward. It's an announcement. Whereas others say, no, they follow the previous idea, that it's going backwards to annul the prior Nedarim. And as we said, Rav Soloveitchik does both. What's the practical difference? So of course the Nusach is one, but there are others. The Rush, when he says his discussion, he thinks that it sounds like he supports the idea that it is backwards. He says, now you know why. This is the secret why Kol Nidre has to be done before nightfall. Because you never have a court assemble at night. So you got to get to shul early to say Kol Nidre before it gets nighttime. As opposed to if it's just a proclamation about future Nedarim, you could say that anytime. You could say Kol Nidre at night. But the Rush says, no, we're going to get there early because we're worrying about what was. So either one of these two explanations you could put in your pocket for when you go to shul. either it is retroactive to remove the nedarim that maybe we tripped up on, that God forbid were serious violations, or it's letting us know that we're letting people know that in the future all of our nedarim are not going to be binding. Either way, it has something to do with removing these commitments. And so what's the connection to Yom Kippurim? So the Vilna Gaon, in one terse line on that halacha in Taf Reish Tes in Shulchan Aruch, says, I'll tell you why it's on Yom Kippur. He says in one line, he says, Legirsas Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that it's forward thinking, it's because on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara said a person can stand up and nullify everything that comes. He says, don't worry, there's a Gemara in Erechim that says Yom Kippur is also called Rosh Hashanah. So when the Gemara said stand up on Rosh Hashanah, stand up on Erev Yom Kippur. What about the second opinion? The Vilna Gaon quotes both, because he's working, we have both opinions at work. He says, you know what the second opinion is? To remove the Nadarm from the past. He quotes the Pasuk in Parashas Matos, V'imheini avi osa v'Hashem yislach la. God will forgive that person after the neder is removed. So what's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the Yom Slicha. V'Hashem yislach la. So this is the time that you're going to talk about Hataras Nadarim. That's the answer. Why are we talking about it now? Because we want to get rid of the problem of Nadarim, and it's appropriate for Yom Kippur because it's either Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, or it's V'Hashem yislach la. I think that's a very nice, beautiful way to understand the significance of Nadarim and what it has to do with Yom Kippur. I think it's very nice. But perhaps there is a much deeper way of understanding and appreciating why Kol Nidre is there and why it's so powerful. There was a great Hasidic master in the 19th century whose name is Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Radomsk. The Holy Radomsk is known as the Teferes Shlomo. And the Teferes Shlomo offers us one approach to Hataras Nadarim, and you fast forward over 100 years to a totally different culture, to a totally different place. You go from Radomsk to Tel Aviv to meet Rav Chaim David Halevi, the chief rabbi, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. I think he passed away maybe in the late 70s, early 80s. And he has another approach. And between these two approaches, we can just so get ourselves in the mood and in the mind frame for what the avoda of the Yom Noraim and Yom Kippur and Kol Nidre is all about. When you put them together, they fit like a glove. The Radomsk, the Teferes Shlomo, he tells us that it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's about him. And Rav Chaim David Halevi says it's about us. And let me explain. The Radomsker in the Teferes Shlomo, in his first piece in Yom Kippurim, he wonders what's going on with Hataras Nadarim. And he says, you know, in Hataras Nadarim, in the Nusach of Kol Nidre, we call out the things that are null and void. They're gone. Esarana, lo esare. That which is asur, that which is bound, is no longer bound. Lo esare. Ushvu asana, our shvuos, how do we end? Ushvu asana, lo shvuos. They're gone. He says, you know who that's applying to? The Ribbono Shel Olam, for the last almost two millennia, has been in Golos. The Medrash describes Pasuk Shir HaShirim, Melech Asur Barahatim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, God, is in chains. We talk about this on Tisha B'Av, that Imo Anochi Bitzara, because the Ribbono Shel Olam went into exile with us. And God Himself, Kivyachol, so to speak, is suffering in exile with us. And the problem is, and we said this on Tisha B'Av not too long ago, that He took a neder. God says, I'm going to take a neder that I will not go back. Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, says the Holy Radomsker, since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalo Yavo LiYerushalayim Ad Shedibane Yerushalayim Shalmata. He took an oath. He says, I'm not going to come back to Yerushalayim Shalmala in heaven until we build Yerushalayim down here. And he says that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he took an oath that he's going to stay away from us until we come back to him. So you know what the Radamsker says? He says, we're all going to get together and we're going to tell God, Alel Yom HaKippurim, Nidrana Lo Nidre. You've been in Golus, Ribbono Shel Olam, for too long. Your neder that you're not going to come back to Yerushalayim, that you're not going to go back to your makom, wherever that is in the holy celestial spheres, we're matir your neder. This is the holiest time of the year. This is the closest time we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's as if we sit down at shul, we're not talking about forgiveness. We get whatever we get, but you know what we say? Bon Shalom. We're going to have a whole day together. We're going to be so close. And that's why at the end of Yom Kippur, you blow a shofar. You know why you blow a shofar? It's the saddest point of Yom Kippur, because that's a siman, it's an indicator, Tosfos says, of Siluk Shechina, that Hashem is leaving. So at the beginning of Yom Kippur, when we're really just sitting down, we say, oh, I can't believe you're sitting with us in Golus. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what can I do? I took a neder that I have to stay in Golus with you. And we say, don't worry. Ribbono Shel Olam, we're matir your neder. We invalidate your Shvuah. You go back up to your makom, to the makom of the Shechina where it belongs. And the Radamsker says, you know what happens when he goes back? We go right back with him. But it's really about him. It's about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's about us feeling, and this is mamash, a very high and deep level, feeling what it means that God is with us, and what that means, so to speak, that God is not where he belongs. So we look at each other and say, it's time for you to go home. And in the back of our minds, we're thinking, we're going to go home now too. We're going to repair that whole relationship. This golus is going to be over, and we're going to be back, be yeshuvam, where we belong. So Kol Nidre is about him. That's one perspective. But the other perspective is that Kol Nidre is about us. And this appears, and we can develop it from an essay from Rav Chaim David HaLevi's Tshuvas called Aseh L'Charav. These were published Tavshin Mem Aleph, 1981. So he must have, I don't know exactly when he passed away, maybe in the 80s. So he has a tshuva, but someone sent him a letter. He says, I don't really understand how the mechanics of tshuva works. At that time, in 1980, Rav Chaim David HaLevi had a radio program where he would discuss questions that people sent him. He would try to discuss it over the radio. Only in Medinas Yisrael do you have an official government radio station where you have Rabbanim answering Shilas on the radio. Rav Avadya also did this in the Yechav Adas. So in Aseh L'Charav, he quotes a lot of the letters, questions that he got on the radio. So someone wrote him a letter trying to understand the mechanism of tshuva, because he says, I don't get it. If I did it, how can I undid it? I did it. How can I undo it? So obviously there are many answers to this question, and one is simply tshuva kadma la'olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam transcends time, and there are many explanations. But he quotes an idea from Rav Yosef Albo, from the Sefer HaIkarim, which is really fascinating, which sheds light on his perspective on tshuva, and which can help us understand Kol Nidre. He quotes in the Sefer HaIkarim, he says, look, every action that a person does, for which they are held responsible, has two components. He calls them Ratzon and Hakara. Ratzon means volition, desire, and Hakara is consciousness or awareness. So he says, for example, if a person is intoxicated, if they're stone drunk, so technically, they're not liable in Beis Din for their action. Because even though they did what they did with Ratzon, they wanted to drive their car at that time, but they didn't have any hakara. They didn't have any awareness of what they were doing because they were inebriated. So you can have an action that has Ratzon, but if it doesn't have hakara, it's not binding. You're not responsible, technically speaking. And the opposite is true too. Let's say, God forbid, somebody coerces you into doing something you don't want to do. So, you know, a person, God forbid, was forced at gunpoint to eat chazer. So what are you going to do? The halacha says, Ya'avor v'al yehareg. You got to eat the chazer and not take the bullet. So in that case, is the person responsible in case of onus? No, onus rachman or patre. Why? There is hakara, the person knows they're ingesting the non-kosher food, but they don't have any ratzon. They don't do that willingly. So if you lack hakara or ratzon, you're lacking a core component of the action. So says Rav David, Chaim David HaLevi, amazing. He says, you know what the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerushin? That when a person, God forbid, is in a marriage that dissolved, so the husband has an obligation to give his wife a get. And let's say for some reason he decided he doesn't feel like doing that. So the Beis Din will find various ways to encourage him to do that. And in previous times, Rabbi Reis can describe exactly how this was done in the old days and how it's done today. And Rabbi Reis and the RC Beis Din and the CRC are champions of making sure that various husbands who somehow lost their way a little bit. So if you have to encourage them, the Rambam says, Kofinoso achiyoma rotsani. You coerce them, these recalcitrant husbands, you coerce them until they say, I want to do it. Now, that's a little bit Chicago style. What do you mean? I want to do it. You know they don't want to do it. So the Rambam says, no. They really do want to do it. These recalcitrant husbands, they really do want to give a get. We, the best in the community, we just need to get them to that point. What do you mean they really want to do it? They say they don't want to do it. They're only doing it because you know. So the Rambam says, deep down, every person, each one of us, wants to do the right thing. We want to connect to Hashem Yisbarach. We want to do what Hashem expects of us. And the problem is, like the Gemara says in Sota, we do things. We all, each one of us, we make mistakes. Because nichnas v'ruach shtus, our judgment is clouded. We get confused. We have misplaced values of all kinds. So what do we have? We have a real ratzon inside that wants to do the right thing. But then somehow we get carried away. So now we look at the model of Hataras Nedarim and we say, now I understand how tshuva works. What happens in Hataras Nedarim? The person comes to the Chacham and said, I made this commitment, but I regret that I did it. I recognize now that back then, I really didn't want to do it. So the Chacham will say to them, if you have charata, not on the actions, the mitzvahs that you did, but the acceptance, like we say in the Hataras Nedarim, you really realize now that you didn't want to do it then. Charata only works if it's retroactive. If you say, I'm glad I accepted it then, but I changed my mind now, that's not charata, that's not Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim says, I have to say that I realize now that I regret that I ever took it on in the first place. When I committed to that without saying Bli Neder, I regret that I did that. So what you've done is, in Hataras Nedarim, you've gone back to the original Neder, and you said, well, I'm lacking the Ratzon. I'm lacking the desire, the motivation, the volition. Well, if you're lacking the Ratzon, just like in every other area of Halacha, if there's no Ratzon for the actions, then there's no culpability. So I undid my Neder, the Neder falls away. Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says to us in Yom Kippur, he says, I can't believe you did that, this, that, and the other thing. We say to him, don't worry, you know what? We realize now, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, in addition to Aziva Sacheit, stopping doing what we're doing in Kabbalah, Lahaba, and Vidui, you know what's a big thing? We have to make sure we have Charata. So we say to the Rebbeinu Shalom on Yom Kippur, we're going to go through all the Alcheitz and everything, we're going to have Charata. The Rebbeinu Shalom will say, oh, if you now have charata that you never wanted to do those things in the first place, the truth is that deep down I know your real ratzon. Your real ratzon was to do the right thing. That's what the Rambam told us in Hilchos Gerushin. Your real ratzon was to do the right thing. And now what are you recognizing? Now you're recognizing that you got confused, but you want to go back to your real ratzon. And everything else that happened, when I have charata now, I realize everything else that happened, that was just a bunch of confusion. We like to take away all of those ma'asim ro'im, God forbid, all those mistakes, because we have charata for them. Just like we have charata for Hataras Nedarim. And what do we say right after Hataras Nedarim? What does the Chazan say and the people say? V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us forgiveness. So one part of Kol Nidre is about being matir HaKadosh Baruch Hu's neder, but the other part is matir our neder. Removing our neder, meaning just like Hataras Nedarim has charata, and that undoes the neder, so too our charata component of tshuva takes us back to the real ratzon that we have, which is to serve Hashem, to do what's expected of us, to fulfill our mission. Well then, everything else is done without ratzon. All the things that happened since last Yom Kippur that were mistakes, that's without ratzon now. If it's not ratzon, v'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael. So you want to know why we go back to the fine print with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with our Southwest credit card, with our little details? Because it's so powerful. It's saying that what we're coming back to, the little fine print at the bottom that the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Gerushin, don't forget the fine print. The fine print says, Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha. We really want to serve Hashem. That's ultimately what it all comes down to. When we say kol nidrei ve'esorei, we're saying, I can't believe I did all those things, because really our goal is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything else is just a mistake. And then Baruch Hashem says, oh, you know what? The Baruch Hashem looks at the little fine print of Heter Nedarim, goes back to Shulchan Aruch, he opens up Siman Reish Chaf Ches, and he says, you're right. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, my Shulchan Aruch, with a capital M, that if a person has charata, you know what happens? Their neder is gone. You have sincere charata, so all of those things that you want to wish away, they're all gone. V'nislach, and that's how we're going to start Yom Kippur. It's an incredible blessing that we come together each year, together with the Matanki family, to reorient ourselves, to focus for a few moments this morning and over the next couple of weeks together on living up to our expectations. And that's the model that you have set for us, that we should set the bar high and to dream big about what the Ribbono Shel Olam, what the Ratzon really is. And hopefully Yaakov's neshama, as it looks down on us and sets the bar high, that each one of us should aspire to the greatness, the Ratzon that we have within us. When we come to Yom Kippur and we say Kol Nidre, we go through the legal specifics of that legal document. We say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're going to pick out the legal argument here, the technicality on which we should be forgiven, but the technicality rests on the real Ratzon within each of us. Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha. We want to serve Hashem. We are celebrating 24 hours together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we begin with that incredibly powerful moment of Kol Nidre. Siva v'chasimah tov. Thank you.